good morning and welcome to back to the roundtable. It's always a pleasure to welcome back our friends from the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls. This morning they join us to talk about something very exciting. It's a newly opened exhibit, Christo and Jean-Claude, the Tom Golden Collection. The exhibition is over 125 original drawings, sculptures, collages, and photographs, and traces the career of renowned artists Christo and Jean-Claude, capturing the versatility, longevity, and international scope of the duo's extensive career. Tom Golden's personal and professional relationship with the artist began in 1974 during public hearings for Christo and Jean-Claude's project Running Fence. To tell us more about all of this, we welcome Aaron Coe, director of the Hyde Collection, who joins us in our studio. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Joe.
Always great to have you with us. And we also welcome the new guy, Jonathan Canning, who is the museum's new curator, and it's a pleasure to have him join us by telephone. Jonathan, good morning and welcome.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
Very nice to have you on the program. A pleasure to meet. I look forward to meeting you in person. Thank you very much for taking time. You have a great boss, by the way.
I know.
Thanks,
yeah. You have a very, very nice boss. So let's talk to her about how this all came together.
Oh, thank you, Joe. And good morning, Jonathan. Well, the exhibition at the Hyde on Christo and Jean-Claude is really, I think, marks a critical chapter in the Hyde's history for a couple of reasons. Christo is perhaps one of the most influential artists of our time, and he and his wife and artistic collaborator Jean-Claude pioneered what's known as environmental art, in which their large-scale public projects alter the viewer's perception of a familiar landscape or building, and they completely transform it. And it only exists, Joe, temporarily, but it endures in the collective memory of the communities that hosted it and in the works made in preparation for it, often decades in the making, these major public projects, environmental projects. So it's what remains. It's those preparatory works that are featured in this exhibition at the Hyde Collection. So that's a major show, and it has 125 works, drawings, collages, and photographs, including also small wrapped and unwrapped sculptures.
So let us go to you, Jonathan, and tell us a little bit about this show and how you put it together. It's from the Tom Golden Collection. Tell us a little bit about Tom Golden's collection and how you are representing these various facets of that collection, and obviously putting this career into the spotlight as well.
Well, Golden first met Christo during a public hearing in Sonoma for, I think, Christo's greatest American work, Running Fence. And they struck up a friendship, and over the decades, Golden continued to collect until about 2001, when he gave his collection to the museums of Sonoma County. And the Christos ensured that Golden had a good representative sample of their projects executed and conceived but not realized projects. And we have a wonderful selection of concept drawings, collages in which Christo used little pieces of the fabric, included them in the work. Often he used these pieces as part of the public display and public discourse on his proposed projects. And as Aaron said, we have some small sculptures wrapped and unwrapped pieces, including a bouquet that is a unique piece. It was made specifically for Tom Golden by Christo at the end of an evening together.
When you look at the scope of this work, Aaron mentioned this a moment ago, but it was so involved and was often decades in the making. So was there a lot of simultaneous work, or was it one project after the other? How did they work in that regard?
They must have worked on projects simultaneously, although once a project was realized, he stopped that concept altogether and moved on. But the projects that he executed in America have been relatively swift, 2 to 4 or 5 years from concept to realization. Other projects like the Wrapped Reichstag in Berlin, first conceived in 1971, but not executed until 1995.
And there was, I think many of us, one of his later works was The Gates, mm-hmm. of course, and that, but that dates back to the late 1970s.
Yes, it does. And they started working on that in the 1970s, and it wasn't realized until 2005.
Yeah, I mean that's a long time, and that's not
in the making. Yeah,
yeah, and that's really not saying that we had the idea and then we shelved it for a while. It's sort of just working on it slowly through the years, right?
Yeah, and I think Christian and Jean-Claude had to deal with giant bureaucracies to get any of these projects completed, if indeed they were completed. Many weren't. And the drawings and collages served as a source of revenue to fund their projects. I think it's important that we stress that this morning, Joe, that it was through the sale of the drawings and collages that you'll see in the exhibition at the Hyde that they were able to fund the projects, and they did so entirely self-sufficiently. In other words, they relied on no sponsorship and no money from other agencies or from the government, et cetera. They did it entirely themselves.
When you look at this idea of environmental art, because there were indoor installations as well, correct? So they would, but that environmental art was really looking at a place and pretty giant scope.
Yeah, I mean their vision is extra large.
Yes, I mean
it's
to take over.
Right, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So how does that move, and I'll ask you this, Jonathan, of how that moves comfortably into a museum that's very nicely sized but is not, let's say, extra large.
Well, the scale of the works that Christo executed suit the Hyde very nicely, but we've also been able to take this project out of doors, and so we have an installation on our grounds by the local artist Victoria Palermo that is interactive and site-specific and plays with this idea of intervening, an artist intervening in the landscape.
This is on the front lawn of the museum complex. And so I assume you went to Victoria and then said...
Yes. Yeah, so actually, shortly after I came back as the director of the museum, I invited Vicky to create the site-specific work for the Hyde, knowing that Christo wasn't coming to Glens Falls to wrap the museum.
Right.
So I wanted to have a site-specific component, an interactive sculpture, as Jonathan just described, for our visitors. And Camp Iris achieves all of that. It consists of 3 8 foot high A-frame structures made of transparent colored acrylic that are held in place by wooden frames anchored to the ground. And very much in the spirit of Christo and Jean-Claude, who I should add Vicky Palermo greatly admires, and they've been greatly influential in her work, Camp Iris alters the viewer's perception of the environment while involving them in the process of completing the work. So again, she shares many affinities with Christo and Jean-Claude. And I think, Joe, that speaks to another reason why we have this exhibition at the Hyde, and because Christo and Jean-Claude were truly pioneering in their populist thinking. There's a sort of populist nature in the thinking of their work that they believed fundamentally that people should have intense experiences with visual art outside the museum and gallery walls.
Mm.
And it's very influential on many, many contemporary artists, including Vicky Palermo.
And allows you to show that throughout the Hyde.
Exactly. And with Vicky's sculpture in particular, it's a lounge-in sculpture. So you can sit in it, you can lounge in it, you can walk through it, and as you do so, the colored acrylic plexi is very subtly, or in some cases, depending on the lighting conditions, in a more startling way, altering your perception of the surrounding environment. At the same time, in the title, you'll notice Iris is evoked. That is the Greek goddess of rainbows. And that that relates to themes that are present in the permanent collection, mythological themes in, you know, the works that you would see if you come to the museum in Hyde House, for example.
When you have all of this, the exhibit is up, and there are many wonderful programs going on. I know one of the things that you have coming up on June 11th is a community day. I'm a big fan of the Hyde's community days. They're always much fun.
They certainly are.
And I bring my nieces and nephews, and we've always had a blast. So what's going on this year?
Well, what we're offering everyone on Saturday, June 11th, is an opportunity to have your very own Christo experience at the Hyde. Indeed, it is a fun-filled day. We're going to have activities for children and families inspired by the current exhibition. We're going to have our museum educators working with kids and families outside on the museum grounds. You can covering, for example, replicas of prominent Glens Falls buildings. Joe, you could bring your own object and you could wrap it at the Hyde that day.
Oh, I have a list of things I want to cover in Glens Falls. Yeah,
you could even come and make your own collage. So all of these activities will be taking place, hopefully, if the weather permitting, on the front lawn of the museum, adjacent to Vicky Palermo's interactive sculpture, Camp Iris.
That's great. It's perfect placement and timing. The new exhibit, Christo and John Quad, the Tom Golden Collection, is now open at the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls. You can find out more information by going to hydecollection.org, and it runs through
June 26th.
And the community day is June 11th. And you can find out all about this by going to hydecollection.org. Aaron Coe and Jonathan Canning, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Have a beautiful event and a great exhibit. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Great pleasure.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.